Romans chapter 1. I want to begin reading at verse 16 through 20, and I want to speak for a little bit on this subject, how we know what we know about God. How we know what we know about God. And there are three different ways that if you'll take your Bible or concordance and look up the word manifest, you'll find that there are three different manifestations of the knowledge of God to us that we, if we will learn what they are and stay close to them, we will know more about God by the end of 2009 than we know now. It's kind of sad when people don't know that much about God when He really makes it easy for a person to know God. And I was reading an article here in the paper yesterday by a dear lady, Lisa McLeod. I hope you'll pray for her. She wrote an article called Finding Faith When You Most Need It. And she talks about, her opening line is this: why do we always wait until things get awful before we ask for help? Well, that's a good question. And we often wait until we're desperate before we turn to God. Now, she is a seeker. Sadly, this was her conclusion. She says, why do we humans wait so long before we turn to God, Allah, Mother Earth, or insert any deity you want here to ask for help? And I'm right down farther in the article, and at least she's searching. She makes this statement. She says, as a former atheist, turned agnostic, turned religiously confused, turned seeker, turned conceptual believer, I'm well acquainted with the spiritual quagmire of trying to pray when you're not sure what or who you're praying to. I want you to know that the true God of heaven is easy to know, and it's not a spiritual quagmire. And He has manifested Himself to us. He does not want, why would God make everything and then make it difficult for us to know Him as His creatures? Well, He didn't. Later on, she writes this. She quotes a pastor that she has been looking to for some counsel. This guy's not all right either. But he's got one good point in this statement. He says, all you need to know about God right now is that it's not you. Well, there's a pretty powerful truth in there. That's not all you need to know about God right now. But I like the last part of that statement. It's not you. A lot of people walking around thinking they're God. And that was the first lie that the devil told Eve in the Garden of Eden, you shall be as gods. You don't need the true God. You can be your own God. A lot of people walk around thinking they're God. And this lady's a searcher. And I thank God for the promise that says, seek and you shall find. And she's well down the path toward truth, praise the Lord, and hopefully somebody will cross paths with her and tell her about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not a spiritual quagmire. God did not make this meticulous creation and be so specifically involved in the details of creation, such as atoms and cells. And I remember growing up and we were taught about simple cells. There's no such thing as a simple cell. Every single cell is an extremely complex miracle. And there's just zillions and zillions and zillions of atoms and protons and neutrons and electrons, and scientifically these ought to repel. These ought to blow up. There's no explanation for it. Some scientists just simply call it cosmic glue. We read the Bible and we find in Colossians 1 and verses 16 and 17 that by Jesus Christ all things consist, all things are held together by Him. They're made by Him and for Him. And next week in the bulletin I'm going to be giving out some really, really good take-home Bible studies for you to take home on this that will really help you. But God is not darkness. The Bible says God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. He's not hard to find. He's not hard to know, and He's not hard to understand. And He has given us three major manifestations of his being so that we can know God. So I want to speak about that for a little while this morning, how we know what we know. And if you'll just jot these three manifestations down and focus on them this year, by the end of 2009, you will know God better than you've ever known him before. Now this first one, sadly, is one that we, even as believers, often miss. I heard a very famous preacher before he died preach a sermon entitled, "The Sermon Almost Nobody Hears." The Sermon Almost Nobody Hears. And he based it on this text. I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. I was writing all week. I'll be reading now. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So if you want to know the power of God unto salvation from your sins, verse 16 just says, believe the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now notice verse 19, our first text. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them." How? "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." I want you to notice the first manifestation of the knowledge of God is creation. The first manifestation of the knowledge of God is creation. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." I want you to notice that God manifests himself to mankind through creation. Notice the phrase, "that which may be known of God," in verse 19. How we know what we know about God is, number one, through his creation. Through his creation. God wants us to go into this life with our eyes wide open. Use all of our senses to learn about him through creation. We do not worship creation, but we observe creation and we see God in it. Creation is not deity. Trees and birds and animals are not deity, but they teach us about deity. They teach us about God. We learn about God by the things that we see in creation. So many times, as Jesus taught while he walked the earth, he would refer to the things of nature as illustrations of his preaching, as illustration of spiritual truths. He would say, for instance, in Luke 12 verse number 6, he says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. For even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Later on, he would say, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?" And so he's trying to teach us lessons from creation. He's trying to teach us a spiritual lesson. Don't worry. God's going to take care of you. God takes care of sparrows. God takes care of ravens. They've never sown a garden. They've never reaped a garden. They've never built a storehouse. They've never built a barn, and yet God feeds them. Are you not better than fowls? Later on in verse 29, he would say, 27, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? He uses grass. He uses lilies as illustrations. In Matthew 12 and verse 12, he says, how much then is a man better than a sheep? He talks about how we're better than sheep and how God takes care of sheep. And all through creation, there's a message there. Turn to Psalm 19, if you will. Psalm 19. God is speaking to us through creation. He wants us to observe creation. You know, it's sad if sometimes, I think I've done it myself, and I'll be the first to say I'm guilty, but sometimes we get overwhelmed with the cares of this life and with worries and problems and distractions and so on and so forth. And it'll be a nice fall day in the autumn, and there'll be trees all over the creation that just have all these brilliant, dazzling colors to them. As we see the leaves changing, we live in such a blessed area of the world, right here in Western New York in that regards. And yet there's times you can drive down the highway and you can be so obsessed almost and so focused on your problems and your worries and your finances or sports or whatever's on the radio or whatever concerns you may have in your marriage and your family, and you get so obsessed with these things you can pass a million trees and not see one of them. Not see one of them. And just see how amazing our God is. And the message that he's trying to send out there to us. God is trying to speak to us through nature. In Psalm 19, verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Notice the universal language of creation speaks to all of mankind all over the world. There's not a language yet, but that God speaks to people through his creation. And you know, if we'll just focus on creation, it'll teach us so many wonderful things about God. You know, this earth, I said last week, revolves once on its axis every 24 hours. We call it a day. It's spinning at the equator at a rate of about 1,000 miles an hour. It's tipped at about a 22 to 23 degree angle away from the sun. It goes on an orbit, like an oblong type of an orbit around the sun, 93 miles once a year, and comes right back to the same place. And God has been doing this for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And what should that teach me about God? Great is thy faithfulness. That God is a consistent God. That God is a dependable God. That God is a consistent God. He's a faithful God. I ought to learn from that. That's amazing. He's got this sun close enough, or he's got the earth rather close enough to the sun as we go around it so we don't freeze to death. He's got it far, He's got it far enough away so we don't burn up to death. And he's got it going at this unbelievable speed, and yet we have these four seasons, and we know about the faithfulness and the consistency and the dependency of God. There's not a person here today who's shocked by the fact that it's cold out in January the 4th. Not one of us is shocked by this weather today. We knew this was coming. We know when the springtime's coming. We know when the little lilies of the valleys will start peeking themselves up through, and the crocuses and the snowflowers, and then your hyacinths and your tulips and so on and so forth and your daffodils, and then it's just a sequence of flowers if you follow them all the way through to your chrysanthemums at the end of the year. It's always consistent, always at the same time. Our God does that. All over our yard will be these tiny, dinky little blue, powder blue flowers about that big with little white, yellow middles called forget-me-nots. And they'll literally just spread all over. They'll take over our yard if we let them. They'll just spread over our by the thousands and the thousands and the thousands, and every one of them is exactly the same. And then the daffodils, every one of them is exactly the same. You pick up the roses and you look into it. You look at a rose and you just say, man, my, it's amazing. What a wonderful God. What an amazing God in His, in the expanse of His greatness, as well as His attention to the smallest little details. Whether you look at God through a telescope and what God has made, and you look off into the stars and astronomy and see how great God is, and you're just fascinated by His majesty and His greatness and His awesomeness and His power of this universe. And when they look at the universe and they spread it out, it literally looks like sand. And one tiny little speck of sand out there is what we call the earth. And God has made it so that it's the only place we know of that has life on it. Animal life, plant life, life in the seas and life in the skies, human life. It's amazing. Man's trying so hard to find some life somewhere else, but we know life's here. God has made it such. And then you get out of a microscope and you look into the simplest cell and we find out it's not simple at all. And we're just amazed at the DNA and the RNA and how God is so interested in the small little details and His consistency and all of our cells. And just how millions and millions and millions of cells in your body are dying every second and being replaced by living cells. And your heart beats. If you live to be 70 to 80 years of age, your heart beats. This little 4.5-pound muscle in your chest beats almost 1 billion times, pumping all the blood in your body through every vessel and artery every 23 seconds. That's a fascinating miracle. 1 billion times. Your eyelids blink over 4 million times. And your lungs, anywhere from 12 to 20 times a minute, take a breath. And God is interested in us. And we look at the symbiotic relationships of everything on the earth. And symbiosis is science. Everything is dependent on everything else. Sometimes I talk to Brother Randy, and he keeps bees. He has beehives. Just so fast, you know. I mean, you're just talking about something fascinating. You study the bees and how they pollinate dozens and dozens and dozens of other plants, and we wouldn't have the fruit that we eat if it wasn't for the trees. Man would just about starve to death if it wasn't for bees. He'd just about starve to death. If it wasn't for bees. Folks, God speaks to us through creation. And I want to encourage you to see, you know, if God truly is that concerned about little atoms and He holds them together, and by Him all things consist, and He's concerned about the smallest little simple cell, why would He make all this with so much detail and then not be concerned about us? He's a great God. You can see the immensity of His power in creation, but He's also a God who's interested in little details. He's the God who cares about all 6 billion people on earth, but He cares about you as an individual. I want to encourage you today to know God in 2009 better than you've ever known Him before. And I want you to go into this year like you've never gone into this year, with your eyes wide open, observing every day, observing every single season, not being distracted, not worrying, not fretting, not just thinking about yourself, not just listening to what's on the radio, what's on the TV, but just get out and see. And I think you'll know God better at the end of this year than you've ever known Him before. How we know what we know about God, He teaches us through creation. And turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 16. I want to give you a second manifestation of God that is specifically mentioned in the Scriptures. It says in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The second way God has spoken to us that we know God is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself visited this earth. We don't have to have a mystery. You know, I feel for this lady. I prayed for her, and I've been praying for her yesterday and today because she seems to be on the road. She seems to be on the road of going from an atheist to not quite sure what she believes, but we believe that God did in fact reveal himself to mankind when he came to this earth in a physical body. The Christmas story, when Jesus Christ came as a babe in a manger one time, God manifest in the flesh. You know, Jesus Christ is directly called Lord on 299 occasions in the New Testament. Turn over to the book of Hebrews in chapter 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. We have seen that God speaks through creation. There is no language that he does not speak in. God speaks. The knowledge of God speaks to man through creation. But God also speaks through his Son. In Hebrews 1 and verse 1, it says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now notice the description of Christ in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Some would say, what is God like? What does God look like? Jesus Christ is the express image of his person. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Skip to verse 8. But unto the Son, he, God, saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Notice it says in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The second great manifestation of the knowledge of God is the Son, Jesus Christ. The Son, Jesus Christ, he manifests, he speaks through creation. He manifests, he speaks through the Christ, through Jesus Christ. He visited this earth. God in the flesh walked on this earth for over 12,000 days. And yet there's people that say, well, if there's really a God, why doesn't he show himself to us? He did. He walked on this earth for 12,000 days. Have you ever considered the claims of Christ? I bring these up sometimes, but they demand a verdict. When you consider the claims of Jesus Christ, they demand a verdict. It's not possible to be neutral when you consider his claims. Let me just throw a few of them at you. Before we move on, when he came down to this earth, Jesus said something like this. I came down from heaven. It's quite plain. Can you imagine me going to lunch with you and we're eating lunch and saying, hey, you know, I got to tell you something. Now, what is it, Art? I came down from heaven. What would you think of me? Hey, check, you know. Time to go. Jesus said, I came down from heaven. That's one of his claims. You can't be neutral on that. He either told the truth or he didn't. See, when you're witnessing to people, even people from other religions, start with the claims of Christ. Don't try to ram it down their throat. Just make them think. Just say, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. These are some of his claims. What do you think about these? He said this, I am the way. The truth and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's one of his claims. He said, I and my Father are one. That was a claim. He said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. That's one of his claims. Can't be neutral on that. If a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. That's quite a claim. I will come again. Destroy this body, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. I am the light of the world. Which of you convinceth me of sin? That's quite a claim. I'm not going to say that to anybody. You just have to ask my wife. It's my kids. They say, oh, yeah, you got a paper? A pen? Yeah, just start writing. Jesus came to this earth and said, which of you convinceth me of sin? I would encourage you to know Jesus Christ this year. Look at his claims. List his claims. And just say either every one of those claims is the truth or the only other choice is they're all a lie. And there's no in between. What will you do with Christ? What will you do, the Bible asks, with him that is called Christ? One day Peter, James, and John were up on a mountain. A cloud covered them. And from that cloud they heard a voice which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear what he has to say. If you're here today and you're a seeker, I want to encourage you, don't try everything else out in the world and then eventually end up last at Jesus Christ. Start with Jesus Christ, who made these claims. And if they're false, then go on to something else. But start with the one who made these claims. The one who said, I can save you from your sins if you believe on me and trust in me as your Savior. If you want to know God this year, you got to know Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this year to know Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to observe nature, enjoy nature, enjoy the creation. Don't worship creation, but worship the God of creation. And then know Jesus Christ. Don't just be saved, but know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then last of all, if you'll turn to Romans 16, there's a third manifestation of the knowledge of God. Speaking this morning on how we know what we know. How we know what we know about God. We know about God from what we learn from creation. We know about God from what we learn from the Christ, Jesus Christ. And then third of all, we know what we know about God from the canon. Now that's spelled C-A-N-O-N. It's the Scriptures. It's the Scriptures. It says in Romans 16, beginning at verse number 25, Romans 16, 25. Now to him that has a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And if you haven't caught on, that's the word I'm trying to bring out in these texts today. But is now made manifest. The word manifest means to make known. How do we know what we know about God? What's the answer in verse 26? But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. That's the canon, the Bible. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Folks, God is not a mystery. God has communicated to us in the safest form of communication anyone can communicate with. He has written it down. Audible communication is not that safe. Some of you could go out to lunch this afternoon and argue all afternoon what Pastor Cole said. One person will say, I heard him say this. Another will say, I heard him say this. No, he didn't mean that. What he meant was ever audible. But if something's written down, you can just read it and read it and read it. The safest form of communication. You know, if I was God, I would want to do two things for people to believe in me. I would want to show myself, first of all. He did that, Jesus Christ. And then I would want to write things down so that when I was gone, they could go back and say, this is what he said. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's the safest form of communication. I do a lot of writing. I just like to put thoughts down on paper and have people read them and so on and so forth. A lot of times in counseling with people, I don't sit down and talk with them for a half hour or an hour because A lot of times forget what I said. A lot of times I try to give them something that either I've written or someone else has written. It's good on the subject. Why? Because then they can really think about it and so on and so forth. I told my son, I said, son, when I die, try to preserve my writings and try to distribute them and try to get them out to people to help some people. Not that I have all the answers or anything, but I've tried to write on a lot of subjects and a lot of doctrines and so on and so forth. What a wonderful God. It's not a mystery. The God of heaven showed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And then when he left, he left a Bible for us to read, this canon of scriptures right here. This manifestation. This is how we know what we know about God. You know, it's pretty sad. Sometimes you'll run across somebody who will try to talk like they're an expert on God, and in the course of the conversation, you start scratching your head thinking, this person doesn't know the same God I know. Then you ask them, have you ever read through the Bible once in your life? They said, no. You know, I want to encourage you to read through the Bible. The Bible claims over 4,000 times to be the Word of God. Now, if it's not, then it's full of 4,000 lies. But if a book makes that claim, it seems like all of us ought to say, well, I at least ought to give it one try. If it makes such a claim to be the Word of God, I at least ought to give it one try. The words, thus saith the Lord, appear in this book over 400 times. If a book says, thus saith the Lord, over 400 times, if I'm a seeker, I ought to at least give it one try and say, let me just see. Oh, this world has been replete with histories of atheists who pick up the Bible and they've said, I'm going to prove this book is wrong. And by the time they got to the end of it, they were converted to Christ. And some of them became the greatest preachers and lawyers and apologists for the Christian faith the world's ever known. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. My desire with this simple message, I was hoping to do something different today and try to expound a little bit on our theme for this year, but we didn't get the plaque in, but I wanted to get, I know some of you maybe didn't learn anything today, you've known these things. But I'd like you to do three things this year in closing. Three things. Because I want you to know God. Love God, know God, enjoy God. And to know God, I want you to go through 2009 with your eyes wide open and just behold His creation. I mean, get out in the garden. Get out in the hills. Go look at the streams and the mountains and the trees and the birds and the things God has made. Look at the little details. Sometimes I just stand in front of an eye and go like this, or a mirror and go like this, and then open up my pupil. And this one stays the same. This one goes, I don't know about you, that amazes me. The seeing eye, the hearing ear, the Lord hath made them both. God made that. It amazes me. What God? It helps me to know God better by looking. Get the TV off. Get your kids away from the television. I'm so glad I grew up in a home where if I heard two words once, I heard them 1,000 times. Get outside. Oh, I'm so glad I grew up on a 40-acre farm. Never thought I'd say thank God for that, but what a blessing. See creation, what God's done. God has done. Know Jesus Christ, number two. Know Christ. God has spoken unto us through His Son. Don't just know about Him. Walk with the Lord Jesus Christ this year. Get to know everything. Everything I can learn about Jesus Christ this year, make a commitment. I'm going to learn about Jesus Christ this year. Everything. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, come to Jesus this morning. Accept Him as your Savior from sin and sin's penalty, and He'll give you eternal life. Walk with Jesus Christ this year. And third of all, get into the scriptures this year. How we know what we know about God through creation, through Christ, and through the canon of scriptures. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, help us, Holy Lord. Father, you're not a mystery. Why would you be so involved in the details of creation, the little things, the things we can't even see yet through microscopes? Why would you be so involved in the tiniest little things and then not care about us? Why would you be so detailed and so amazing and so meticulous in keeping the earth revolving once a day and around the sun once a year, and then be some kind of a mystery to us, when we're more important than sparrows and lilies and grass and sheep and ravens? Lord, help us, I pray. I want to pray for this church, for myself, that this would be a year we would know God, that you're not a mystery, that you'd speak to us through creation, through Christ, as we walk with Him and through the canon of Scriptures. Bless our invitation now, we pray, in Jesus' name.